come and stand before your Maker, full of wonder, full of fear. Come behold his power and glory, yet with confidence draw near. For the one who holds the heavens and commands the stars above is the God who bends to bless us with an unrelenting love. Rejoice! Come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of our praise. Rejoice! Sing of mercies of your King, and with trembling rejoice.
We are children of the promise, the beloved of the Lord, one with everlasting kindness, bought with sacrificial blood,
bringing reconciliation to a world that longs to know the affections of a Father who will never let them go. Rejoice! Come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of our praise. Rejoice! Sing of mercies of your King, and with trembling rejoice.
All our sickness, all our sorrow, Jesus carried up the hill. He has walked this path before us, he is walking with us still.
Turning tragedy to triumph, turning agony to praise. There is blessing in the battle, so take heart and stand amazed. Rejoice! When you cry to him, he hears your voice. He will wipe away your tears. Rejoice! In the midst of suffering, he will help you sing. Rejoice! Come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of all praise. Rejoice! Sing of mercies of your King, and with trembling rejoice.
Good afternoon, church, and welcome to our youth-led service. It's lovely to see you here, even after braving the rain and the cold. Thank you very much for coming. I also wanted to say thank you for your donations for the cakes on behalf of the youth. A lot of cakes have been made in preparation, and there's still some here if you would like some after the service. But in total, so far, I think this was from maybe Thursday, we've got £330. So that will really help us out with all of the things that we're planning to do with the youth over the summer. Thank you so much. Also to say, Underground starts for the youth on Friday, this Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And so it'll be great to see some of our young people there to sort of just enjoy themselves, have a bit of a break after a week of school. Yeah, just some time to spend together. And as this is the all-age service, I love getting our young people involved. And we had a very young person sticking around with us after the service, so I put her to use to do our actions for this next song. Do you want to come up, Zara? The song is Our God is a Great Big God. Give her a round of applause. She's been learning these actions to perfection. So the song is Our God is a Great Big God. And cut twice. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. and he's known me and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. And I'm sure she'll be fine once the music starts. Let's give it a go and sing Our God is a Great Big God. You ready? Can you do it? Okay. And he holds us in his hands. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. And he's known me and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands.
Much, Sarah. You did ask, and I didn't do it. So our next song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, continues that joyous feeling. And then the next song, The Creed, will give us an intro into our topic for tonight. So if we stand and sing those two songs.
Please be seated.
So our topic tonight is all about the Trinity and how that speaks into our lives, how we come to know God through the Trinity. And Charlie will be speaking on that a little bit later. But first off, I thought it would be good to sort of give a little bit of an overview of what the Trinity is. We've got a little video to do that, so can we play that for us, Sarah?
What? is a trinity? That's a good question. Dr. Schnivenhausen?
Yeah, a very good question. The word trinity means three in one. Tri-unity. Three in one. This is God. He is one. The one true God. But the Bible talks about God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and in the New Testament, God the Son.
So there are three gods?
No. The Bible tells us over and over that God is one. But God is made up of three persons. It's sort of like a triangle. A triangle has three sides, yet it is one triangle. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the three sides of God.
So God has parts?
No, this is where it gets tricky. God the Father isn't a part of God, he's completely God. And God the Son isn't a part of God, he's completely God. The same is true for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. All three persons are completely God.
That makes my head hurt.
Yes, it's a puzzler. Maybe a song would help.
Oh, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are God, all three are one. I hope this song can clear it up. The limits of a human brain will make it tricky to explain how one and three can be the same. But read the Bible and you'll see three persons in the Trinity. Three in one and two and three. Three persons in the Trinity. All in one, how could it be? Three persons in the Trinity.
So there are three persons within God, and each has a different role in God's rescue plan. The Bible teaches that God the Father launches the rescue plan so that we can live with Him again. He sends the Holy Spirit to help us do whatever He needs us to do in that plan. God led the Israelites through the desert and gave Moses the strength to stand up to Pharaoh. And now, in 1 Samuel, God fills David with His Spirit when Samuel anoints him as Israel's next king.
Cool. What about God the Son? What does He do?
Oh, that's the best part. But we won't get to it until the New Testament.
And so, obviously, we know Jesus' role in the story, in the plan. And it is truly the greatest. We are so grateful for it. God is the Trinity. Hopefully that clears it up a little bit, to say that God is three persons but one being. And this next song speaks about our good Father, the one who came up with this plan and sends the Spirit and Jesus out to complete it. Our good Father. And it says in the bridge, you are perfect in all of your ways. And I think Charlie's speak later will really underline that. Should we? Please stand and join us.
I've heard a thousand stories of war.
you call me.
As you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 your good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am. And love by you. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead.
Please be seated. I'm going to ask Charlie now to come up and we'll pray for him. If the band would like to go and sit down as well. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for our young people and their willingness to serve you. We thank you so much for this service that allows them this space and this time to really be in service to you and to praise your name. We thank you for Charlie as he speaks tonight. Lord, just speak through him. Let the words come clearly and let it touch everyone's heart. Let people take away what they need to. And for everyone to come in, to leave refreshed and ready for the week ahead. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Yes, so it's a pleasure to see so many people here at this service at 3:30. And I have a plan that I will read from a paragraph I've typed up. And I hope to really reach out to people, to have people contemplate this doctrine. First, before I go into how this doctrine is the core of our Christian lives, I'd like to start with some simple history. Some of you may have heard of the Church Fathers, and as Danny, one of the songs she put on first was reading in part from the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed is the earliest affirmation of the faith, the apostolic faith that we have. It is absolutely crucial to us as Christians. It is something that we as Protestants should never depart from, because it is the best summary truly of Scripture. But there's another confession that I hold very close to my heart that expresses this doctrine. And it comes from a man named Athanasius. And Athanasius was from Alexandria in Egypt. Athanasius lived in the 6th century, 600 years after Christ, in a time where there was a very popular heresy called Arianism. I wonder how many of you have heard of the term Arianism. This was a belief that Jesus was a created being, that Jesus was not omniscient, omnipotent, all-knowing, that he wasn't transcendent, that he was a conscious creature like you and I, like the angels, and so on. Many Arians still exist. Mormons are Arian. Jehovah's Witnesses are Arian. There are many. Arianism is still popular today. There was one man who opposed this belief of the entire Roman Empire, and that was Athanasius. And he wrote a beautiful confession, which really summarizes this view very well. The Arians believed that there were some Arians that believed that the Holy Spirit was a reference to a movement of God. It wasn't the consciousness of God, it was like something that God does. There were other Arians that believed the Holy Spirit was just another creature as well. But Athanasius stood up for what the Apostles' Creed truly tells us and teaches us. And he says, and I want you to pay attention to the word that I will emphasize this evening. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Spirit uncreated. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal, but they are not three eternals, but one eternal. That's what I will just read for you. It's a much longer confession. You can look it up in your spare time. It's called the Athanasian Creed. Many people really struggle with this. And on an academic level, you can talk to so many people, Muslims, Jewish people. There is, I will not get into this in this sermon, this isn't a lecture. You can show that this belief was everywhere in the Old Testament, this truth. One great example would be the angel of the Lord in the burning bush refers to himself as the Lord, and he's able to forgive sins. Another example that you can see is when the three men who visited Abraham in Genesis 18, it says about one of these men who had left to go towards Sodom, that the Lord rained down fire from the Lord out of heaven. One of these men was the Lord with two of his angels. And so God was on the earth, raining down fire from himself out of heaven. Jesus also clearly said that he was the Son of Man, and then he uses the present tense, he says, which is in heaven. He said, I and my Father are one. Jesus was a rabbi. If you know anything about the career of being a rabbi, Jesus knew in Deuteronomy, God said, I will not give my glory to another. Jesus knew that as well as anybody. And so when Jesus claims, when he healed on the Sabbath at Bethsaida, he claimed, my Father works and I work. He was saying that it's not just my Father who needs to work, I also need to be working. And he's also saying, if my Father is working, that means I'm working as well. He was making himself equal with God. That's what the Jews accused him of. Now that I've given you some context of this, how do I explain the Trinity so that we can visualize it? Well, it's no coincidence to me that the first element in nature that God created was water. Water. Water is where we get solid, liquid, and gas. They're all one substance, but they're different forms. And many times, they're simultaneously in those different forms. There is a very personal way of explaining this to everyone, and I will read in a minute from what I've written, but the Trinity should be understood as the way God works. If you just imagine, I want anyone here to imagine, and this is very hard to imagine, but this will really help you understand the Trinity in a lot more depth. I want you to imagine as an individual that nothing else exists outside of you. When we think to do something, we are talking to our essence. Our consciousness is communicating with our essence. We can have abstract concepts because we see things around us. There's a difference with God. There was nothing outside of God for eternity. Wrap your mind around that. Now, when God thinks, he sees himself. And if he sees himself, that means he looks back at himself, and we call that reflection. When he sees himself in that act, he becomes a father to himself in this act. Simultaneously, he becomes a son to himself in seeing himself again in a reflection. But there has to be a third perspective to that, that sees that reality of how God sees himself. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's a very, very good way of really visualizing this doctrine. I know it might be a bit complicated, but a mirror reflection will help you understand the Father is fully God, the Son is fully God, the Spirit's fully God. Now, I can't leave it there, again, because there is a communication between all three of them. They talk to one another. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. The Father also sends the Spirit individually, but the Father and the Son also both work in sending the Spirit. There is a real communication there. Imagine you look into a reflection of yourself in the mirror, and yet you're outside of time, and so you can do something in your reflection whilst you're responding to your reflection. That's a good way of imagining the communication of the Trinity. It's not like me talking to you. My strand of genetics and my consciousness was never the same substance as yours. We're made of genetics, we're made of genes, we're different categories of being. God is the same category of being. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to start with a passage. Just check my notes. Or just briefly, the nature of God. I'll just start with the nature of God. And you should all know many verses for this, of course. The four O's: omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omnibenevolence. God is omnipotent. He has power over all things. That derives from his status as the creator. He created all things. He has power over all things. He's ordained all things. Omniscient. So because he has power over all things, he knows all things. He actively knows everything that's going on at the same time. He's omnipresent. He is sensually, with his senses, which are infinite. We have five senses. His senses are infinite. He's everywhere in every place, seeing all things from all directions. There isn't one perspective he doesn't see. And lastly, omnibenevolent. That means he's 100% perfectly affectionate, merciful, loving, and just. Now, here's the core of the message I want to really put to all of you. There are many times in our lives where man looks up to God and man says to God, "You don't understand what I'm going through." And the basis for why a man has usually done this is because he imagines God in heaven with these four O's: omnipotence, omnipresence, omnibenevolence, omniscience. And so we imagine God not knowing the future. We imagine God not having the burden that we have of limitation and restriction. In our problems, we look up to God and we go, "Look, Lord, you know everything. You're all powerful. You don't have this problem. You're never unhappy. I mean, you're grieved at our sins, but you're eternal. You don't have to worry about ceasing to be and succumbing to circumstances that you can't control. We humans have to worry about that." And I want to show you a verse that caught my eye deeply this morning. It's from the book of Job, and it's in Job 10, and Job says this. And of course, Job, he's just gone through, he's just lost his family, his oxen, everything he has, all of his money. Job is at the pit of despair, and his friends haven't been much of a good help to him either. And Job says this, I'll read just on the screen what there is. My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak of the bitterness of my soul. I'll say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? Now here, listen to what Job says. Listen carefully to what Job says to God. Do you have eyes of flesh? Or do you see as a man sees? Are your days like the days of mortal man? Are your years like the years of a mighty man, that you should seek for my iniquity and search out my sin? That's Job using everything that God is against who God is. Does everyone see that? God knows what it feels like to go through anything, but he wanted to show us that he does. And this was a primary purpose for why God became flesh. Primary purpose. And it's very important for us in our lives to understand that truth. Let me just continue there. So yeah, there was a real primary reason. This was a real primary reason why God becomes a man, to relate to us in all we go through and bear our afflictions. Isaiah 53, what does it say? Does it say that he just bore our sins? No, that's not enough. He bore our infirmities. He bore our infirmities. In Gethsemane, blood, the sweat of blood came from the head of Jesus. He knows, he took on the experience of everything that all of his people that he came to save would go through. So in that one crescendo there, all of that is coming at him. When we think of Calvary, we think of crucifixion, being whipped, all of that. And we don't realise that actually in the Psalms it says that the bulls of Bashan would encompass him about. And if you know the context of the Psalm that says that, it's about demons. And Jesus was tormented in a way that we would never understand in all of what he did in Calvary. He took on a whole experience of being completely separated from his sinless human nature, and so from the Father. He was completely separated from the Father. This is why Jesus says, take this cup from me. Jesus is not afraid of pain or agony or anything like that. Even betrayal, he's not afraid of that. He's not. He is overwhelmed as a man in his human nature with the fact, with coming to terms with the fact that he's about to take on our sins and become our sins. He has had an eternal relationship with the Father before all ages. As a man, he never sinned. He couldn't sin. And now he's about to be alienated from the Father and experience all of the wrath of God, all of it. It contradicted his entire nature. It was like contradicting yourself. It's the worst kind of pain, is hatred of oneself. Now, Jesus didn't go through that. He actually went through a lot worse, because it contradicted all of who he is. Now, God ordained that he's the second Adam. He, as the second Adam, would be a renewal of the Adamic race, all of humanity. And he ordained this because it's a divine pattern of who he is. Remember how I started this message? I said, God has to see himself to think to create. And that's what inspired God to say, that's not the only way that I have a son. He's going to be my son as a man as well. We have two references, God the Son. Yeah, that refers to the eternal Son. We also say the Son of God. He's the Son of God as well. And he was born as a man, literally the Son of God. That's to reflect this pattern inside of God. I want you all to really think about this. This is how personal God is and how he wants to know us. I don't have much left. I will just say that salvation, in a real sense, salvation is not so much to do with us. It's to do with a covenant inside of God. If you read John 6, Jesus said the Father gives to him those who are his. The Father showed everlasting love towards his Son in giving to him a people to save, and this people do not, we as Christians do not deserve our salvation. We do not deserve to be redeemed. We are actually the exact opposite of the Trinity. Why did God create the family unit and marriage? To reflect the Trinity. To reflect the Trinity. We're the exact opposite of it. Now, of course, we're meant to be like an example of the Trinity. That's why the church is so important. That's why God wanted a big family in Eden. That's why he said it's not good for man to be alone, because God is not alone. That's who he is, a Father, Son, Spirit. There are many different meanings of the family unit. There are different ways of looking at it. It has different examples. I don't have time to go into now, but ultimately it does reflect the Father and the Son sending the Spirit into the world, having children. And there's another way in which the child also does represent Christ as well. Now, this is a unit. Communication is your communication with one another flows from the very essence of who God is. I want you to really think about that and try and visualize that today. This doctrine is so under attack. It's the foundation of our faith. Without this doctrine, without this belief of the Trinity, we don't have salvation. We don't have salvation by faith. We don't have the incarnation of Jesus. We don't have the virgin birth. We don't have any of it. So please remember that this God loved you so much that he took on your flesh. He knows everything you're going through. He did that willfully. We're without excuse. We have no excuse. And that's it. That's all I have, actually, to share. And I thank you all for listening. I didn't read much from what I had, but I love to talk about this topic of the Trinity. It is the crescendo of our faith. So God bless you all, and thank you for listening. And I'll let Danny take over. So thank you. Thank you.
That we don't focus on enough. We understand God is the Trinity, but we don't really dissect what that means, and when God is up in heaven, what that really means of him seeing himself. I thought that was such a great explanation. If the worship team would like to come back, we're going to sing one more song, and it not only does it reflect what Charlie was saying about God knowing us in everything that we're doing. It's called Oceans. It says, you call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep my faith will stand. But also it talks about the Trinity in such a clever way. You call me out upon the waters, speaking about Jesus and his miracles that he did while he was on earth. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, the Father's forgiveness of us. And then in the bridge it says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Calling us out to do his works just as Jesus did. If you stand and sing this with us.
When oceans rise, my soul will rest in
in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surround me, you never fail, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call. One more time, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I hope we've been blessed by what we've had to what we've had preached to us, but also some of the songs as well. The song that we're going to sing as we head out today was chosen by the youth, and it's a really popular one. Build Your Kingdom Here. I know we sang it this morning, but we couldn't help ourselves. Build Your Kingdom Here. And it really does exemplify what we are meant to do in response to God's love and His choice to die on the cross for us. We refuse to waste our lives, and all of the actions in the song really give us those steps to take after we accept this blessing that we're given. Feel free to head through to teas and coffees after. I'll pray first and then we'll close the service. Father God, thank you so much for bringing us all here this evening, this afternoon. We're so grateful for your word and for your truth and for your glory. Lord, bless us as we leave this week, as we head out and we go about our days. As mundane or as exciting as they may be, Lord, we just pray that you are with us through all of it. We thank you for being there and for knowing all that we're going through. Help us to remember this as we go through every day. Amen. We are the church.
seek your kingdom first.